Head Games, a new documentary about the brain injuries associated with football, ice hockey, and various other sports, opened in theaters this week. The beginning of the film features a pep talk delivered by a man coaching very small, very young football players whom he is trying to motivate with the story of how David defeated Goliath.
Little old bitty guy had plenty of courage. He believed in himself. And what David did, he got a little old rock, a smooth rock. This your rock and helmet. And he ran into that big old giant and boom!
Joining me now is Steve James, who directed the very successful 1994 film Hoop Dreams, as well as Head Games. Steve, welcome back to Only a Game.
Great to be here.
And I'm joined by Chris Nowinski, whose book inspired the film, and he also serves as the co-director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy. Chris, good to see you again.
Thank you, Bill.
Steve, that's a powerful image, the coach equating the football helmet to the rock, which David slung into the forehead of Goliath. Was that an easy choice when you were thinking about how to begin Head Games?
Yes. I have to give my editor credit, David Simpson, because as soon as he saw that moment, he was like, God, there's our opening.
Did making this film alter your attitude toward the issue of brain injuries in sports?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think before I got involved with it, like a lot of sports fans and people who have played sports, I was aware of the issue. I was reading about it. It was unavoidable at a certain point. But I didn't really know much about it. And making the film, of course, really educated me. And it's one of the reasons why we wanted to make a film that really laid out what we do know and what we don't know. Because as Dr. Robert Cantu says in the film, our awareness now about this issue is way up here, and he puts his arm way up in the air. Our true understanding is still way down here. And he puts
scientific understanding.
Scientifically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that this film is an attempt to really try to help us all understand a bit more out there in the real world what's at risk, what's what we know, what we don't know, and try to make informed decisions as parents about what our kids do.
Chris, you've been at the work of educating athletes and their parents and the U.S. Congress, among others, about brain injuries suffered by athletes. What do you hope Head Games will accomplish along that line?
My goal is I'm really passionate about this, and every day I wake up in the morning and I jump out of bed because I want to solve this problem. But there need to be more people going along with this, and I think what this movie is going to serve is it's going to take people from the sideline and put them in the game. To get an hour and a half that really tells a story and helps you appreciate, you know, Steve's a legend. So I'm hoping it makes more activists and gets more parents protecting their kids in their own communities.
Chris, you've been very candid about the concussions that you suffered as a football player and as a pro wrestler and the resultant damage, but actually witnessing the results on the film of some of the damage others have suffered is dramatic. For example, Head Games includes a memory test being administered to Gene Atkins, who played in the NFL from 1987 until 1996.
Gene, repeat the months of the year between January
let's find something else.
And June. Pardon me?
Just pick something else to do, because I can't do it.
Try.
January, May, April.
Chris, you arranged for that test. What was your response when you witnessed this relatively young man's inability to recite in sequence the months of the year?
No, I remember sitting in the back of the room. I mean, I was scared to death. I had never seen someone in their 40s who was impaired that immensely. And I was sitting next to his wife, and her head just dropped. I mean, what's your future like if you're in your early 40s and you can't do basic things?
Steve, how did you respond to that episode?
When you see the profound effects on someone that young, it shakes you up. I mean, you know, I was just reading about Jim McMahon in Sports Illustrated and his girlfriend and all these things she has to go through, you know, taking pictures of herself so he knows who she is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just profoundly unsettling.
Steve, very close to the end of the film, we hear from the young hockey-playing son of former NHL player Keith Primeau, who suffered multiple concussions before being forced to retire. And the youngster says he'd rather not know about the danger of head injuries. Why is that sequence at the end of the film?
Well, you know, I think as the film moves along, we move from Chris's, you know, heroic battle against the NFL to sort of really bring this issue to the forefront. We move on to amateur sports, and Keith's son, Chase, is, you know, an amateur athlete who, in fact, had already had a concussion. He'd had one concussion that kept him out of play for 6 weeks.
And he says he can't remember what happened.
He can't remember what happened.
That event.
We found with a lot of young athletes, and this was particularly true with hockey, when you ask these young guys, like, what do you love about playing hockey? They don't say, I like scoring goals. I like skating around the ice real fast. They say, I like the contact. I like to hit people. And so it's a very deeply entrenched part of the game. In that light, it's totally understandable that he would say, I don't really want to know too much because, you know, in their view, ignorance is bliss in a way, and that's, of course, not true.
I don't want to leave our listeners with the impression that this film is entirely grim because some of what is presented here is encouraging. The experience of former U.S. national team soccer player Cindy Parlow, for example, multiple concussions led to her retirement, and she is still suffering from various complications that require medication. But she seems to have become a responsible coach.
I've been screamed and yelled at by parents for not playing them when they've gotten a concussion, which is fine by me because I know that I'm doing the right thing. And I've actually had those same parents come back to me and apologize and thank me because I would send them publications on the effects of concussions.
Chris, how common among coaches at any level is that sort of awareness regarding head injuries?
Last month, Los Angeles Unified School District canceled football practice so that everyone was forced to sit through an hour and a half lecture from me. And it was a thousand coaches in the room, and I asked them, who here has had any concussion training prior to today? And it was four coaches.
Four out of 1,000.
1,000 in 2012. Cindy knows and is an advocate because she got concussions. But if we have to wait for everyone to have their your careers ended by concussions, then become an advocate for the next generation, this is going to take a while.
There's that moment in the film where Chris is doing a presentation to a high school, you know, and the trainer not only, you know, asks questions about his own daughters who have suffered clearly concussions, and sort of takes Chris to task,
well,
nonetheless.
Well, he starts by saying, you've scared a lot of people here today as if you've done something wrong. The guy just plainly doesn't understand.
No. I mean, and I guess that I found out after. That's why I was brought in. They had such a culture problem that it not only affected the coaches, but the medical staff. It was in that self-destruction is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like that when you're 15, you should leave an arm on the field, and that's great. You know, the problem is your brain, you got to take with you outside of school and use it for the rest of your life, or you are nothing.
And that particular evening, the football players had been required to go to a weightlifting session so that they wouldn't hear what you have to say. Have I got that right?
You have that right. And it's disgusting to think that a coach just doesn't feel like he's obligated to tell these people what the problem is because we don't want him to be scared. And the coach is so vain that he needs his record, he needs those wins, and so he doesn't want anyone having any fear to slam their head into somebody else. It's just insane.
Chris, can you be optimistic at this point about people hearing your message, or do you wonder whether some of the people are so enamored of the status quo in sports that they just don't want to hear what you have to say?
You know, I think it's fair to say that there's always going to be some subset who doesn't want to know and is going to try to avoid the information and do the same thing. But the bulk of the world is starting to move in the right direction. I think a lot of that came from turning the NFL and then turning the NHL and getting everybody to, at the highest levels, the ones that we all revere, to change. When they changed, it became okay for the youth leagues to change. It became okay for the high schools to change. And so I feel like, you know, the question now is we're going to get to a safer spot because we're going to keep pushing this. Is it going to be 20 years or is it going to be 2 years to when you can actually sleep at night knowing your kid's going to be safe? And I hope it's 2 years. I hope this movie helps accelerate it.
Chris, you talked about change at the highest levels of sports, but in head games, we see mothers running up and down the sidelines at peewee football games, screaming like crazy about their little children performing as football players. Are they hearing your message?
They are. I mean, I would say 2-3 years ago, I was completely scared and horrified by the lack of parental interest in this issue. But it's certainly not everybody. I got an email yesterday from someone who I've known for 10 years, who's followed this very closely, whose child, 12-year-old, got a concussion and who asked me all the wrong questions. And I was like, I can't believe that you think that you don't have to send your kid to a doctor. Mm.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that really surprised me in making the film, which is to see the ways in which parents, which I understand, but to see the ways in which they struggle around this issue of their kids' participation. Because on the one hand, they look at their kids and they say, this is their passion. They love this. They see all the benefits that these sports provide. And so you meet parents in this film whose kids have suffered multiple concussions and are still letting their kids play. Mm. And they're not uncaring parents. They've read up on it, but they're not ready to take that step of saying, I'm not going to let my son or daughter play this sport anymore.
We're going to ask you a historical question. Hoop Dreams also brought up some very disturbing issues involved in the business of basketball. I wonder which of the two movies, finally, you find most troubling in terms of what it says about our culture.
God, that's a very good question, which I wish you hadn't asked. Well, I mean, I think both are very important. I think, of course, the stakes in terms of people's, you know, actual health are perhaps greater here. Because there's certainly, with the business of sports, there are a lot of kids that get used and exploited in that process. There are also a lot of kids that have benefited. But I think it's clear to say there's no benefit from brain trauma. But I think the thing that's so difficult about this issue for athletes and parents is that, you know, you look around and you say, well, you know, if you're a parent, I played football and I seem okay. And so it's really hard to balance sort of your real-world knowledge and personal experience with what you're reading about and hearing about and make an informed decision. It's tough.
Steve James is the director of Head Games. Thank you very much for joining me.
Great to see you again.
And Chris Nowinski is a principal subject of the film. Chris, again, thank you very much.
Bill, great to see you again.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Trader Joe's, traveling the world to source a variety of foods and beverages like pizza from Italy and cheddar from Australia. Locations at TraderJoe's.com. This is NPR.